Welcome to the Point is to Serve podcast series. We exist to encourage you towards a vibrant and active faith in Jesus Christ. For more information about the Point is to Serve ministry, visit our website at thepointistoserve.org. Now let's join Pastor Alan Kiesbo for this week's teaching.
Amen. We have a God who's for us. Isn't that wonderful? And confident instilling. We have a great God. This morning we conclude a three-week series called Once Upon a Time. I love the phrase once upon a time because it reminds us that really anything is possible. When you start a story with those words, great things can happen. And the story of Cinderella is a fun story depending upon which edition you read, because you see a transformation starting with her, but going in concentric circles to impact everything around her, including a pumpkin, which is a great sign that transformation is happening. So this morning, once upon a time, there was transformation. A few years before we started The Point is to Serve, I was going into the sanctuary at First Baptist, and I had committed apparently some dastardly sins. And Roger Fredrickson, Randy's father and Joel's grandfather, came up and hit me on the arm and said, "Don't let this church domesticate you." The sins I'd committed was I cut my long hair and I'd cleaned my office. Terrible, terrible sins. But in that process, his words kind of made me wonder, am I being domesticated? And so Ern McManus, an author and pastor, had written this book called The Barbarian Way, Unleash the Untamed Faith Within. So if I was being domesticated, I wanted to hear what Ern McManus had to say. And in that book, McManus challenges the reader not to measure spiritual formation by your calendar. In other words, don't think just because you're busy, you are being formed in the likeness of Christ, but by transformation, by how you are seeing Christ formed in you. He would also add that traditional faith has kind of focused on not sinning, and he says this about that in this book. The entire focus of our faith has been the elimination of sin, which is important but inadequate, rather than unleashing a unique, original, extraordinary, wonderful, untamed faith. As we started The Point is to Serve, we were hungry to see God do that in people's lives. A unique, original, extraordinary, wonderfully untamed faith. And we have seen that in the lives of those we've served with. McManus would suggest that transformation doesn't come because we have chosen to be holy, but holiness comes out of the transformation in us. That we are changed first in our heart by following Jesus Christ as our Savior, by confessing our sins, acknowledging Him, and saying, "God, I am all in. I receive your gift of the sacrifice on the cross. And God, now make me holy." And while that happens instantly, the lifelong transformation is a process. And so this morning, we're looking at a passage out of 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. And this, Paul talks about this transformation that is within all of our grasps. Paul writes, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given to us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God,' for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Paul is writing to a group of people in a town called Corinth. It was in the center of the world. It was geographically in a place where east was meeting west, north was meeting south, and with it every vice and every virtue of the world was collected in Corinth. And Paul writes to them to saying, we are in this world, but we are new creations. And Paul encouraged them to pursue the transformation that happens through Christ. Paul ironically starts with this idea that we see our transformation when we see people differently. Paul starts by talking about Jesus Christ, that's saying, we once saw him as a misguided messianic pretender. When we first meet Paul, his name is Saul. It's found in the first chapters of Acts. And he is introduced to us by being a legal witness at Stephen's death. Stephen was being stoned for being a follower of this messianic pretender. And Paul had nothing, or Saul at the time, wanted nothing to do with this person. And then Paul meets the resurrected Christ. And everything changes. He no longer sees Jesus as a pretender. He sees somebody who is the answer to Judaism, answer to the world, the next step for us to become new creations. And in this process, he says, just like we see Christ differently, our transformation is connected to how we see those around us. That seeing humanity is a horizontal piece of connecting vertically with God. That when we start to see God clearly, we see people differently. And the opposite is true. When we see people the way God calls us to see them, we see God differently. Jesus would say it this way, as he's speaking in Matthew 25 and preparing people for how will the world end, he creates this dramatic scene of all humanity standing before God, and they are separated. And they're separated by how they saw the people around them. And the people respond with surprise when Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your homes. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the people were surprised, saying, Jesus, We didn't know that you were hungry or you were sick or you were in prison. And Jesus responds by saying, as you looked around and you saw the people around you who are in those situations, and you served them, you served me. At the point to serve, we have tremendous experiences of being with people. Not coming to them over them like we have the answers and they need to be like us. Not behind them pushing them, you know, into a decision or whatever it is, or pulling them. We've been people who will be people that we've been able to connect with as we stood with them side by side. And Paul is saying, as we lean into that invitation to trust and respect and care for people around us as if we were relating to Christ and we see them that way, Paul says, you will be changed, and so will the people you serve. As we look back on the years of ministry at the Point, I think there are many stories of transformation, but the one that brings me the most joy is what has happened through our serving children in our community. The Kids Serve Ministry has been significant as it takes place on Sundays and Wednesdays. We've seen our people step into the lives of children. We've also taken that to schools through mentoring and building relationships there. And in that process, you have come along with this. If you're not a Kids Serve volunteer, you have been a part of it by being a part of this congregation. Because as these children come, and they look around and they see faces that are so happy to see them, you have been a part of seeing Jesus differently because you've seen children differently. That morning when one of the boys announced it was his birthday and the congregation sang to him. These are moments where we see Jesus differently because we see children differently. One Wednesday night, I was with one of the boys who just came from a hard place. And he was both crying and yelling at me. And because he knew he was crying because he knew he was at wit's end and just did not know where to go from there. And he was yelling at me because he just needed somebody to be with him. And the night ended by saying, come back next week. We're going to try this again. And for some of those dear, precious children made in the image of God, it has been a story of come back next week and we will continue to walk with you. These have been tremendous stories of transformation, not only in the children we serve, but in our lives if we've seen Jesus in them. Paul would say transformation happens in our lives when we experience the newness of being in Christ. What happens when we change how we see people? We become new creations because of what Christ has done in us. We celebrate Jesus' life, his torture, his agony, his death, but we anchor ourselves in the resurrection of that story. Theologians talk about conditional and positional sanctification. That one hand, salvation is in an instant. That when we acknowledge who Jesus Christ is and we confess our sins and claim him as our Savior and our Lord and say to God, we are all in, change me, the process of sanctification or being made holy happens in a moment. We are made in the righteousness of Christ. That when God looks at us, when we've confessed our sins and claimed him, God sees the righteousness of Christ in us. We are made holy in a moment. And then there's the conditional sanctification. That is the position where we are made holy, the conditional sanctification, when we start to walk into that and lean into that, that we are changed from the inside out. If you look at the history of the word rehabilitation, in the original idea, it was restore to former excellence. Paul is saying in this passage, we are restoring people to the former excellence. When Paul says, come back to Christ, it infers that somewhere people have been given the invitation to already be connected to Christ and we've strayed. And so we walk around looking at people and trying to be with people and seeing how is Christ present in their life already. How are they people who are part of this transformation story? And how can we serve that we are transformed as we are transforming through them, through the process? And we are in this process together. In that same book by Ern McManus, he says this marvelous thing about what does it mean to serve together in community? While never violating our uniqueness, we move together united in heart and soul. Our greatness is unleashed in the context of community. When we move together, God is most perfectly revealed in us. So this newness in being in Christ isn't just me doing my thing with God. It's in a sense being expressed through community. That we are not just new creations in Christ individually, but we are new creations in a new community. And in that, God is most perfectly revealed in us as we move together. Several years ago now, in the fall, I was thinking about Christmas themes, Advent themes, and Jordan was in a church in Denver, and he was working on things, and we got together and talked about it, and he told about his theme, and I thought, that's a great theme. Could we borrow that from you? And he, of course, said yes. And it became a memorable Advent theme for us. It was based on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer character in that movie and the Island of Misfit Toys. This island that toys went to when kids didn't like them, and one was a train with the caboose had square wheels, one was a water gun that shot jelly. The parents probably didn't like that one. And a spotted elephant, and all these toys that didn't fit. And how Santa came and collected them and took them to homes where they could find community. Well, as we shared that story, it just fit for us that maybe the point is the Island of Misfit Toys. And we come together not because we are complete, but because we're people who are new creations in process. And some of you came from other churches and just joined in and found your place and your mission, and you've been wonderful partners with us. Some of us came a little dinged up from our past church experience, and we just need to be encouraged and find a place, a safe place to be, and now have moved into this transformational service. Some of us came unsure about what faith even is and what does it look like. Is it just a bunch of things we know? Is it how it has worked out? And you have become a part of this wonderful island of misfit toys. I am thankful that you are here with us. Recently, I've come to see the working of God in our community in another way, related to that. In the Old Testament, there's this image of gleaning. It was in the nation of Israel the way that we provided for the poor, that professional harvesters would come through and they'd leave a little patch of unharvested grain there, or if they dropped things, they were told not to pick it up. And then people would come through and pick up the leftover grain. Ruth, part of Jesus' ancestry, was one of those gleaners who came back to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And her job was to go and pick up the pieces. I've seen our church as a gleaning ministry, looking for people who just are on the outskirts, that haven't found their way to church or haven't found their way in a church that just loves them the way they are. I am thankful that you are part of gleaning ministry. We form this community around the promise that we are new creations. And we are ambassadors for Christ. That leads into the last part, that transformation happens in our lives when we live into the work of Jesus. We are saved by grace. We are moved to the position of sanctification. But as we walk out this experience, we are transformed as well. Paul says it's all about Jesus, Jesus' life. And it's all about his sacrifice to us. That because of his sacrifice, we now have this gift of being reconciled, and we are now called ambassadors. We are the glue that connects this part, God's promise, with humanity that do not understand or know it or realize it. It is how we sacrifice through this process of serving that, again, we are transformed and we are partners in the transformation of others. Paul says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for us, that we might become his ambassadors. The newness of this relationship calls us to continue to live into this, that we might be, that our condition gets closer to our position as we live into this idea of the newness of Christ. But as Denise has already prayed, these are days that, maybe in South Dakota, the contrast is a little bit more subtle, and we have to look and see. And I am thankful that we're a part of Sioux Falls Public Schools who are working so hard at being ambassadors to bring all children into the blessing of being a part of this community. We need to continue to work. In some ways, we have arrived because of what the work of Christ. In other ways, there's so much to do. In 1962, Martin Luther King Jr. was speaking in New York City on the 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. He ended his speaking with this quote from a black preacher who had been a slave. And he talks about, although his grammar isn't correct, it has great profundity. This is what he ends his sermon with. We ain't what we ought to be. We ain't what we want to be. We ain't what we gonna be. But thank God we ain't what we was. We ain't what we was is because of Christ. We need to address what we ought to be, what we want to be, what we are gonna be, and lean hard into that sense that we are the new creation of God. When people hear, when I'm meeting new people, that I'm a pastor, one of the common things they say is, well, that's nice. I find my spirituality by going in the woods or going to the lake or being in nature or whatever. And they see their faith as this completely vertical situation. They miss the power of the body of Christ. And this morning, I want to remind us and commit ourselves to the sense of this transformation, this newness of being, isn't just between me and God. It is connected to how we live in this world and the people we live with. You know I love musicals. Man, La Mancha is a favorite of mine. That scene ends powerfully with this woman named Aldonza coming into the deathbed of Don Quixote. Earlier in the musical, Don Quixote meets this woman who is serving at a tavern. She probably makes her income at night. And when Don Quixote sees Aldonza, he calls her Dulcinea. Cervantes, the writer of the original book, says it was for him this concept of the ideal woman. And Don Quixote comes into this bar and sees this woman who has a history and says, Dulcinea. And after Don Quixote leaves, she is mocked and ridiculed for this blessing that he's placed on her. We don't hear from her until this death scene where Don Quixote is in his bed. He's been brought back to his senses by his family. He no longer is the knight going out and doing missions. And Aldonza breaks into the room and says, Don Quixote, you have to remember me. You have to remember who you called me to be. And eventually he is reminded of this role that he called her, sweetness, perfection. Eventually Don Quixote dies. And Sancho, the page or the servant, and Aldonza are outside. And Aldonza says to him, he's not dead, he's alive. Sancho says, he's dead, Aldonza. Her reply is, I'm Dulcinea. When we gather as people of Christ, as new creations, we may come across people who say, God is dead. Jesus doesn't exist. Our response is, he's alive, for I am a new creation. We need to witness one another's transformation. We need to celebrate that. And as we meet in small groups, as we meet with our children and kids serve and then youth ministry, we are witnesses of what God is doing. And when we feel or when we hear that God's not dead, our response is, oh, he's alive. I'm a new creation. Let me pray for us. Dear God, thank you so much for this work of Christ that is given to us in a moment, but then the adventure and the wild, untamed faith that we're invited into as we say, God, I want to lean into this. And God, thank you that it isn't a solitary journey, that it is with the body of Christ, this holy nation, this royal priesthood that you call us to live. God, may when we struggle, may we not only turn to God, but may we turn to other, that we might lean into what it means to be this new creation that a world desperately needs. And a world that is so full of ache and hurt and generational sin. God, may there be hope that the new creations of this world will speak into it in a way that life will be given and hope and promise. And people will ultimately turn to you, the one who's called us the new creation. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Point is to Serve podcast series. For more information about pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ or information about the Point is to Serve ministry, visit our website at thepointistoserve.org. Thank you and God bless.